Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of mercy, grace, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. And again, welcome to Grace Break, and I am honored and thrilled to introduce you to our guest, Rochelle Smith. And Grace Break is all about refining energy, movement, and thought. And Rochelle will share with us today just how refining our energy, movement, and thought, how to walk into your happiness and uncovering success in the process. So, Rochelle, before I give them a little bit more information about you, why don't you say hello to everybody this morning?
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a pleasure and an honor and an absolute blessing to be here with you this morning. I'm so looking forward to this morning's conversation with you, Tracy. Appreciate the opportunity again.
Yes. So Rochelle is positively passionate about your success, and this is what drew me to you, Rochelle, because I believe we are infinite in our potential. Rochelle is the principal of Positive Creation Infusion Consulting. She's an entrepreneur, professional speaker, and author, and is based in suburban Detroit, Michigan. Her greatest passion in life is challenging, inspiring, and motivating companies, organizations, and individuals to be the best they can be and to reach unparalleled success. She's the author of several books, and I'm excited for this one to come out. The fifth book, The Leader Within, Maximizing Your Potential, is going to be released winter of 2014. And today, she's going to share with us again from her book, Happiness and Success Uncovered. Rochelle, congratulations on the new book coming out this year. I'm excited to read it and hopefully, you know, have you back on the show.
Would love to. Can't wait.
Okay, so let's move into Grace Break and in particular your journey and start talking about potential and what it means for happiness and our success, because Western society, you know, worked kind of infused and just hammered on every single day of what happiness is supposed to look like, but we're all not meant to be in the same box.
Absolutely, and it's, I mean, that's a great question, and I think especially to start us off to realize that we as people of faith, you know, our standards, our expectations are very different than the norm, and I often tell people that, you know, if you're doing the will of God, that leads to happiness. If you're in the center of God's will, that's success. Because I think a lot of times we can get caught up with, how much money am I making? Am I moving up the ladder? Have I achieved everything I said I would by the time I was 30? And, you know, that's certainly the kind of the norm, but we as faith-based people have to take a step back and say, hey, let's look at the greater picture. You know, God is the author of my life. God is writing the story of my life. And am I following his leading? Am I obeying? Because that truly leads to happiness and success. So I often like to kind of draw a parallel between the two of, you know, a lot of times what the world thinks is success. And that's, quite honestly, I think that's why so many people are unhappy, because they're just going around trying to keep up with the Joneses and measuring their level of success against someone else. And, you know, unfortunately, they're doing things that they don't want to, you know, do, and they're, you know, living life outside of the purpose that God created for them. So I just think it's just a really important point to know that we need to look to God as a source of happiness and success, because that's truly where it starts. And when you think about my own life journey, that's been the journey that I've been on from the standpoint of I was measuring myself and I was, you know, counting the number of achievements, which is great. God wants us to be productive people. God wants us to achieve and do good things and great things and serve as examples and lights in the world. But at the same time, my own journey has been one which has really kind of redirected me on that path. And I tell you what, Tracy, I'm looking back now, and of course now I'm in my late 30s, I never would have expected to be this happy. You know, and when I think about my own success, I think that, you know what, I'm living my life purpose, that, you know, that God has created and designed for me even before I was born. And that has been my source of happiness. So my Michigan license plate actually spells out L-U-V-N-L-I-F, love and life. So
all right.
That happens. That doesn't happen without God and without our faith.
And it's, our personal journeys, and sometimes I think back, gosh, if I could pour into my 20-year-old self what I know now, and, you know, going back of measuring what I think that everybody wants from me other than following that God-centered will for the success that he has given the path for. And as you talk about measuring yourself, what was necessarily the breaking point? Was there like a aha moment in your life where it was just, okay, I'm done. This is where I need to be. Have God be the author of my life. Let him lead. And where you drew that parallel, what was the breaking point?
I will tell you, and it's really fresh in my mind because I celebrate it every year. It was February 27th, 2005, to be exact. And
wow.
So, I mean,
that is exact.
I'm great with remembering dates, but that one in particular, because I'll tell you what happened. And so, again, 2005, February 27th, I woke up that morning, and basically my God has just kind of been nugging at my heart and nugging at my life, saying, you know what, there's more to life than this. Okay, we talk about John 10:10 that says, hey, you know, he came to give us an abundant life. And, you know, I was kind of stressed out and overcommitted and overworked. And, again, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, which is great, you know, he wants us to achieve. But for me, that particular day, I embarked on an 8-week-long consecration. Prayed, and I had certain themes like fear versus faith, you know, happiness versus misery. Like each week I created my own themes. I mean, literally I didn't follow a fasting journal or something else that someone created, just the Spirit led me. And so for 8 weeks, I mean, I was in the Word. I was fasting. I was praying. And that 8-week journey, and I've since done several consecrations every year, but that was the point right there. That was the epiphany where God said, you know what? Enough of your way. It's time for my way. And, I mean, literally, you and I would not be on this call today if that wouldn't have happened, because that 8-week journey set me on a journey that's lasted, a spiritual journey, I mean, a deep spiritual journey that's lasted several years. I mean, I continue to grow in the Word. I continue to grow in Christ. But that particular consecration is truly, as I look back in hindsight, is what unlocked my destiny, which is unlocked my potential and my passion and my life purpose of helping other people. Because I want, Tracy, you know, I've experienced this journey. I've experienced this spiritual growth and just this awesomeness of just happiness in my own life, and I want others to feel the same way. And so that was the point in which, hey, it became, you know, all about God, and it became all about trying to please him and do things his way. And it certainly is never easy, but it's certainly been one that has been very fulfilling, you know, to kind of lay down our will for his will. You know?
One of my mentors uses this. It's like, do the hard work now and reap, you know, reward, or reap the reward now and have to do the hard work later. It's like, oh, I would so much rather do the hard work now. So the unlocking in helping other people. So to get to that breaking point and just that deep spiritual conversation for 8 weeks in 2005, what's one action or a question that we can ask ourselves to be quiet enough to start that journey?
I would say, why is my life, and this is a question I ask for myself, and I think it would be pertinent to probably most people, why is my life not working? Or why am I not happy? But I would say for me it was, why is my life not working? From the standpoint of, I was extremely stressed out, overcommitted, overworked, you know, walked around with a plastic smile on my face, pretending to be, you know, something that I really wasn't, you know, pretending to be this perpetually happy person, which I am now, genuinely and truly deep down in my soul because of this transformation I've been through. But I would say, why is my life not working? You know, if you're not waking up, let me put it this way, Tracy. If you're not waking up every day just on fire, full of life, full of zest, ready to conquer the world and make a difference, you have to ask yourself, like, why is my life not working? You know, God created me for more than this, than just existing, you know, and just surviving. He wants us to thrive. He wants to have an abundant life, full of joy and making a difference and living our purpose. And that was a question for me, and I think it's just the humility to say, what I'm doing isn't working. What can I do differently? And when we ask God, he will tell you. One thing I remember from Joyce Meyer, listening to her and on TV, like, when we ask God for his help or show us something or tell us something, he'll show us. We have to have the humility to ask.
And so then, you know, working with individuals, they get it. They've heard where they need to be. They know where their heart is to have that zest and zeal to get out of bed every morning. They've got a plan, and then there's an obstacle. Themselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, we know that humility, we have to just ask for help, you know, in that humility. But then there's, you know, ourself ends up being an obstacle, our circumstances and relationships, because then it's all fear-based. So
yeah.
Where, you know, once we figure out the plan to our happiness and success, and then you and I both know that there's going to be barriers in the way. The enemy is also going to tug on our heart and tell us all the ways that we're not going to succeed. How do you combat that?
Most definitely. And I would just say, of course, and I think just the points that you were making and alluding to, is that we need to know the enemy doesn't want us to have an abundant life. The enemy doesn't want us to succeed. And those thoughts, those self-sabotaging thoughts are nothing but thoughts from the devil, just fiery darts from the devil to keep us down, to keep us under his thumb, basically, to help us to not feel that we can be in Christ and that God wants us to be. And so when those thoughts come at us, and I think one thing we need to do is just kind of arm ourselves with the word, and particularly that shield of faith, because when fear comes at us, and that's something, and again, it's just kind of coming to the realization that no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what we achieve and titles behind our names and degrees, none of that, we're all going to feel fear. That is just part of the human nature. That's part of human condition. And so those thoughts are going to come at us. And so we just need to be armed with the word, armed with the shield of faith to say, hey, I recognize this for what it is. You know, God is not telling me not to do X. Again, it's out of his will and it's, you know, ethically and morally wrong. Absolutely not. He's telling you not to do it. If it's, you know, in accordance with his word and he wants us to do it and it's, again, going to benefit others in society and things like that, then, yes, fear is going to come at us. But we've just got to be able to say, you know what, enemy, I'm not listening to you. I'm choosing to stand on the word of God. I'm choosing to believe what God's word says about this situation. And I know for me, when I, you know, just to kind of lay it all on the table, my own entrepreneurial journey, I had a mentor who told me, hey, I assure you, she was a former business owner, this will be the hardest thing you've ever done in life. And I remember laughing at her saying, yeah, right. You know what kind of thing about this? And let me tell you, I have never in my life, and I was, you know, raised in the church and all of that my whole life, I have never experienced attacks from the enemy like I have now. Because literally you get those thoughts where it's, you know, I could go back to the corporate world and life would be so easy again. You know, because it's that whole thing where the enemy tries to come to you with fear. What if this doesn't work out? What if this doesn't happen? What if this book doesn't sell? And so, but basically what I've had to do to combat that, stand on the word, pull out my scriptures, memorize scriptures, write them down on index cards, because I can come back at the enemy with the word. And I have had to stand on the word like never before. And I just encourage people, but again, that's my gift. I have a gift of inspiration. I have a gift of encouragement. So I can always tell people, you can do it. You know, fear comes at me. I may seem fearless and things like that, but that's only because of God's presence and the Holy Spirit and that word that I run to constantly because I need it now more than ever. Oh, I hear you. The obstacles are going to come. Life isn't easy. It doesn't matter who we are, what we're trying to do or accomplish or overcome, but we've got to know we have the ultimate tool for overcoming. We have the word of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. What did John 4:4 say, 1 John 4:4? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we are unstoppable, Tracy. We are unstoppable. We've got to believe it first.
amen to that. and, it, you know, you said this is one of the hardest things that you do, and we kind of laugh at that. It's like, hey, if this is the path that God has me on, he's going to make it so easy. But then that doubt and the fear and the human condition comes into play. And I say, marriage is going to be one of the hardest things and jobs that we'll ever have. But it's also the most rewarding. And that's also birthing your own company and being an entrepreneur and being a life getter and setter. It's going to be one of the most hardest things that you do in life, but it's also the most rewarding as well. So regardless if we're working in corporate world or if our listeners are entrepreneurs, just take heart. It's normal, but we have the tools, and we have the spirit within us to do that. So, Rochelle, I want to take just a quick minute for our listeners. Rochelle is giving away a copy of her book, Happiness and Success Uncovered. So our first caller in, 347-850-8893. Again, that's 347-850-8893. Our first caller in will receive a copy of the book. So hurry up and call in, and you'll get to ask Rochelle a question, too. And here we go. We have a caller.
Awesome.
Hello. You're on the line with Rochelle and Tracy.
Hi, Rochelle and Tracy. It's Jennifer Rivera.
Hi, Jennifer Rivera. How are you today?
Lovely. Thank you.
So you have won Rochelle's book, Happiness and Success Uncovered. Do you have a question or a comment for Rochelle?
You know, I had just a comment, I think, when I think it was a lovely session, and it reminded me I need to get into my scripture more for support. You know, we get into habits and we lose them, and we have to get reminded to get back into them. But I really felt attacked yesterday but didn't recognize it. Things are going along fine. All of a sudden, I'm furious and angry and upset at the way someone's treating me. And I realized, well, they're under a lot of stress and pressure, and you don't have to always take it personally. But I was livid, you know. And looking back on it, I was even questioning myself, where did this come from? You know, I've been doing really well, and I think it's because I'm not in my scripture enough. So that was kind of what I was thinking as you were discussing that portion of it.
And Jennifer, are you a business owner or you work in corporate?
Entrepreneur. I work for myself.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So were you feeling attacked in your business life?
Personal, actually.
Personal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Rochelle, do you have a comment for Jennifer as far as the attack and staying in the Word?
Certainly. Well, thank you so much also as well for calling in, Jennifer. Certainly a pleasure to have you, and certainly a pleasure to hear your feedback. And I think that's something, like you said, we get into habits, we get into routines, life gets busy. And that's certainly something I think we all kind of have to deal with. But it's just a matter of saying, hey, you know what? Literally much like the food that we eat every day, the Word has to become that to us. Where literally like every day we crave it, we need it, we want it, it satisfies us. We can't live without it.
Yes.
And kind of once we reach, and that's a growth process. And I'll be honest with you, hey, 10 years ago, would I have been telling you this? Absolutely not. But guess what? God has orchestrated a series of events in my life, in my own journey, to where, hey, I need that Word. I can't live without that Word. I don't know what I'm going to do without that Word. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. We all face different attacks in our personal life, as you alluded to, in our professional life, in our businesses, in our families. We are constantly under attack. But, hey, we've got the ultimate spiritual warfare weapon. We've got the Word. So be encouraged. And I'm just glad, again, you were able to give some inspiration this morning and just to say, hey, you can do it. You can overcome this attack.
You've overcome thousands of attacks in your life, but you'll overcome this one.
Thank you. Yes, it was just apparent that I was kind of, you know, not paying attention, I guess.
All right.
Well, thank you again
for
calling in, Jennifer. And I have your phone number, and I'll be contacting you for a mailing address for Rochelle's book.
Thank you guys so much for your inspiration this morning.
All right.
Thank
you,
Jennifer.
Right. Isn't that so true? But Jennifer's got it right. I mean, she's very aware of what's going on and turning that cycle around quickly. You know, when we're not in that awareness, we could go down that slippery slope and take us a couple of weeks, a month, or years to cycle back around from the attack.
And with these attacks, too, Tracy, and this just kind of popped into my head, with the enemy loves to steal from us. Again, we know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you know, the word says. But one thing that really just occurred to me, I would say more than anything, confidence. Because when our confidence is shaken, we're always kind of doubtful and unsure, and am I doing this right? Should I be doing this? And am I a good enough mother? And, you know, does my husband love me? Because once he can steal our confidence, in my just my humble opinion, I mean, our destiny is in question. Our activities of daily living and our just daily lives are in question. And so I just want to encourage everybody, when we think about what the enemy is truly trying to, what these attacks are certainly designed to do, is to steal our confidence. Because when we have no confidence, we just kind of go through life with no vision and no purpose and no focus. We're just kind of distracted Christians. And I've certainly been there, and it's certainly a very tough thing to kind of come against. And I think we face that constantly. But we've got to just remember that our confidence is rooted in God's Word. Because no matter what we're going through, what we're facing, we can run to the Word, and there's a solution for that problem. There's a solution for that issue. We're not alone. No matter, hey, we have, what does the Word say? Hey, we have God that's closer than our brother. And it's closer than a brother. No matter what we're going through, he's with us.
And thank goodness for that, because life would certainly be lonely on my end if it didn't have that. I want to go back to abundance and why our happiness and success in that abundance is being authentic to who we are and, you know, unlocking that path that we talked about earlier in the call. To stay authentic to that path is difficult, and we've kind of been talking about that. Talk to us a little bit about our potential and why it is so important to be authentic in that.
Absolutely. Well, certainly we need to know that God wants us to succeed. God wants us to do well. Hey, 3 John 2 says, hey, God wants us to prosper. We need to know when you talk about that abundance. So we need to know, first of all, that it's God's will for us to prosper and do well and achieve great things and have wonderful families and to be the best people that we can be. But it's the one key word you mentioned there was authenticity. And mm-hmm. I would say the enemy certainly loves to attack us there in the realm of authenticity or not being authentic. But what we've got to do is be secure enough in who we are, again, coming back to confidence, we've got to be secure enough in who we are and who God designed us to be and God's path and will for our life to where we're not constantly running, looking to the right, looking to the left. What is this person doing? What is that person doing? What is my neighbors doing? What are they doing? And so we basically got to kind of look within, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us from within and give us rock, fire, solid strength and confidence and security to know, this is what God wants me to do. And I'll just share a quick story. Hey, it's in the book. I mean, you'll read all about it. But when I think about, I refer to myself as like kind of the old Rochelle, like the old Rochelle who was always, you know, extremely, you know, insecurely looking around for what everybody was doing and, you know, how am I measuring up and what more can I do to stay on top? And I was fiercely competitive. You know, growing up, I was an athletic child and fiercely competitive and didn't want to work with in terms of true teamwork and collaboration and, you know, undergraduate, graduate school and things like that, eventually reached an epiphany, which happened during that consecration I mentioned, where I basically said, hey, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't compete.
Because I'll tell you what, all those years when I was looking to the right and to the left, Tracy, I wasn't authentic. I wasn't living my true life. I wasn't being the real Rochelle. You know, I was being who I thought other people wanted me to be. And I know there's multiplied hundreds of millions of people around the world who face that same issue. You don't even know who you are anymore. You've lost sense of that. You know, when God has created you, you are special. God has created you for a purpose that you should remain true to. And now, even in the last probably 4 to 6 weeks, God has called me higher in terms of my authenticity when I speak and when I train and increasing my own level of vulnerability, because I used to be a perfectionist. And so what? Perfectionist? You know, demonstrating vulnerability? Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. But now God is saying, hey, nope, time to take the mask. I don't want any mask on. I want you to show any and all vulnerabilities, because your purpose, my purpose for your life is for you to help people. And vulnerability and you sharing how you struggled and how you failed and what you've overcome from a position of humility, not this position of kind of, you know, hey, I've done it, so can you. It's a matter of showing, like, often, you know, from an authentic standpoint of, hey, I've been where you are. I struggle with that too. Only by the grace of God am I able to overcome it. So authenticity is truly the key of living our best lives. You're not going to achieve your greatest potential being someone God didn't create you to be, being someone you're not.
And that's just so true, and it really takes to being vulnerable to ask the questions, because there's always somewhere that's been there, done that, has had the same experience. And, you know, until we ask the question, we feel so alone. And it's like, okay, I can do what I want to do. And somebody else has gone there before. And I send people thank you cards with Band-Aids in them. You know, thank you for bloodying your knees before me and sharing the experience, because that just means I don't have to do it. So I'm learning from there. And that's the 20-year-old self, is I would never ask or ever be vulnerable to asking those questions. So, you know, I have fallen down a lot. And, Rochelle, you had you just kind of stated that the more success that we have and the more we're in that path and we're helping people, it opens up opportunities for bigger work. And this statement from Henry Kissinger, who was the state Secretary of State, has come before me this week. So each success only buys an admission ticket to a more difficult problem, because God's preparing the way for that success.
Phenomenal quote.
Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely. Yes.
So our time, as always, Grace Break has covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. And so, friends, that means this is all the time we have today. And if you want to know more about Rochelle, her book, Happiness and Success Uncovered, Lessons from My Passionate Journey, that's the full title, her coaching programs, or speaking for your organization, go to www.positivecreativeinfusion.com, and that's positivecreativeinfusion.com, or go to gracebreak.com and we'll have the direct links to Rochelle's website, her books, and how to get into contact with her. I know that, Rochelle, you have some great things coming down the pike, not only your new book, but some events that you're doing. And, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart today.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate this opportunity. And, hey, like you said, we're not alone. I have been tremendously encouraged by this call, so it goes both ways. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you again. And until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.